Welcome to the PC Speaking Podcast series, Through the Bible in a Year, where we come together for daily reading and reflection as we journey through the scriptures. Let's dive into today's episode with Pastor Chris Miller. Faithful in the storm.
Hello and welcome back to the PC Speaking Podcast. Today for us is Easter Sunday. We've been reading through the Bible over the course of a year. Today is day number 91. If you're new to the podcast, we publish a daily podcast and reading guide to accompany that reading. You can find that at hindledonbaptist.com. And that reading happens each day of the week. We put it out as a podcast Monday through Friday. We read from the Old Testament, the New Testament. Then on Saturday, we read from the Psalms and the Proverbs. And then on Sunday, we have a memory verse. And that's what we talk about on Sundays, our memory verse. And today being Easter Sunday, we obviously are going to tie that in with Easter. And today, our memory verse is a passage that is very familiar to many. And it's often referenced and commonly misunderstood passage as well. And we're going to read from Luke chapter 6, verses 37 and 38. And this is an excerpt, just so you know, from the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus teaching a crowd of people many things in, well, a relatively short amount of time. And he gives a whole bunch of information. The title of our message today is God is not fair and he's not reciprocal. How's that for clickbait? Anyway, let's read our passage for today. Luke chapter 6, verses 37 and 38 say, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give unto you. For with the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. Now I said, this passage is familiar for many, and non-Christians even reference it from time to time in the sense of, you know, don't judge me. If you're a believer, you've probably heard that at some point. Someone says, well, don't judge me. I thought the Bible said not to judge. And sometimes that might be true. And at times Christians are stumped by that. And if you're a Christian and you hear that, you might think, well, maybe they're right. And it could be the case that they might be. Or maybe they're not. But let's find out and draw some principles to practice from this passage. Jesus says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. What does he mean by that? He also goes on to say, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will men give unto you. For with the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. Well, what does Jesus mean by that? Well, one thing it's not about winning or losing your relationship with God. Maybe it's a good idea to talk briefly about what he doesn't mean before we get into what he does mean. I've had conversations with people about this and other passages where they thought, maybe because they were judgmental towards someone, God has rejected them and their time as a Christian is over. And like I said, this isn't about winning or losing your your relationship with God. That only happens through Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he's made for us. And verse 38 says, given it will be given to you. This isn't a get-rich-quick scheme either, although some charlatans use it that way. You know, if you give, God's going to give more back to you. That's not what this verse is about. Your financial situation in life is not determined by what you do and don't give to the church. It matters that you're generous towards God and other people. You know, we want to keep the air conditioning and the lights on in the church, but God doesn't act in a way that is reciprocal or fair. If he did, many wealthy people would be made poor and many poor people would be made rich. And I'll show you what I mean. Imagine this. What would your financial situation look like if Jesus showed up at your door and said, everything you have given to me over the past year, I'm going to take that number and I'm going to give it back to you weekly for the rest of your life, but that's all you get. Now, that seems more than fair. It's more than reciprocal. Some people would become rich. Some people would be very excited about it. And then there are others who would be very upset about it and would have absolutely nothing. But it's obvious that God doesn't work like that. He doesn't work in a manner that is reciprocal. And, well, he's often not fair either. And the verse also says, men will give unto you. This passage is not about our interaction with God, but it's about our interactions with other people. And we're going to dig into judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. You know, I see this happen a lot on social media. Don't judge me. I thought the Bible said not to judge, and it doesn't really matter what I see. That always comes up somewhere. And it is true that Jesus does say that. But what will help us with our understanding is knowing the difference between being judgmental, exercising judgment, and what it means to judge. Even though those words are similar, there are differences in what they mean. Being judgmental means having or displaying an excessively critical point of view. Judgment is the ability to make considered decisions or reach a sensible conclusion. And that's something God wants me to do, to exercise sound judgment. Jesus says, judge not or don't judge. Judge means to determine in our own mind what is right, proper, and expedient. And to judge, it also implies analyzing or evaluating as well as condemning or avenging. Now, the first two things, to analyze, evaluate, are things we are commanded to do. You can find that in Scripture. But the other two, to condemn and avenge, those are not for us to do. Those are reserved for God. And that's what Jesus is telling us not to do. That's not our job. Now, there is a difference between analyzing and condemning. Condemning is passing a sentence on someone for something they did wrong. There's also a difference between evaluating and avenging, which is inflicting harm on someone for something they did wrong. It's good to evaluate, analyze actions, situations, reach sensible conclusions, and make good decisions. After evaluating a situation and coming to a sensible conclusion, I evaluate a situation, something maybe someone's doing, they're inviting me to take part in that, and I may choose not to participate in an activity because I've decided that's not a sensible thing to do. And I'm not judging someone if I do that. But when I do that, people might say, don't judge me. I'm not judging you. That's not what Jesus means when he says, don't judge. I'm doing what I think is sensible to do. I can evaluate your actions. You can evaluate mine. No problem. We're not passing a sentence or inflicting harm in doing so. Being sensible is not doing what Jesus tells us not to do. Jesus is telling us not to pass a sentence, not to hand out punishment or avenge ourselves when someone has wronged us. Why not? Doesn't it seem fair to react in kind? If someone has wronged us, why wouldn't we avenge ourselves? Why wouldn't we do that? It seems fair to do that. Well, verse 38 ends with this. It says, for with the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. And in what Jesus says there, he's talking about a measure of capacity. Whatever capacity we use to judge or measure others with or in, they're going to judge or measure me or sometimes even other people in that same capacity. Whatever power, ability, or capacity I assume in judging someone else, they're going to reciprocate the same back to me. Now, in our passage, in the Sermon on the Mount, a large crowd is listening to Jesus. And sometimes when Jesus is teaching, it's to the general public. A lot of people hanging out, everybody's listening. Sometimes it's to his followers, a smaller group. And sometimes he teaches his inner circle, a much smaller group. Now, in this case, it's the general public. He's just talking to people in general. This is something that works for everybody. However you treat people is probably how they're going to treat you. It's not unusual for Christians to be portrayed as having a judgmental attitude or a critical point of view. Sometimes that's true. Sometimes it's not. But I think it happens because at some point, someone somewhere saw or heard of someone claiming to be a Christian who had assumed the capacity to hand down a sentence, to avenge or inflict punishment for wrongdoing. And now they associate that with Christians in general and see them as being judgmental. Now, they may have perceived something wrongly. You know, I get that sometimes. I talk about sin and what God says is wrong a lot. But understand that when I do, I'm just sharing what the Bible says. I'm just passing on the message. What you do with it is on you. However, there have been times when Christians have been and are judgmental in a way that is disobedient to what Jesus says in this passage. And what did Jesus say would happen when we do that? He said, "For with the measure you use, it will be measured unto you." That person is judging in the same capacity they saw someone else judge. You know, and that's not always the case. Sometimes it's just a bit dishonest, but they do that because that's what people do. People treat people the way people treat them. People mirror how we treat them. And, you know, that's not a principle. It's not a law. It's something that is generally the case. If you're critical, you're probably going to be treated critically. If you're condemning, guess what? Expect to be condemned. If you love and serve people, well, it's not unlikely that people will love and serve you. In whatever capacity you treat other people, they will most likely reciprocate that behavior. Show people mercy, they'll probably show you mercy. Be patient with others, they'll probably be patient with you. Be forgiving, and you'll likely receive forgiveness. Now, reciprocity applies to most people, and it seems fair enough, right? That seems fair. I mean, there are some people out there who are just jerks, and they're, you know, it doesn't matter if you're nice to them, they're not going to be nice back. But in general, people are reciprocal in behavior, and that seems fair enough. But we have a problem when we try to apply the same concept and ideas of reciprocity and fairness to God, because God is not fair and he's not reciprocal. And you know, that might make people a little uncomfortable. They might be taken a little bit back by that, but bear with me. If you see God as reciprocal and fair, you're going to struggle to understand who he is, and you will likely be disappointed with who he is based on your own misunderstanding. Now, so far, we've talked about how if you treat people how you'd like to be treated, they'll likely reciprocate that. And we also mentioned the negative side of that. If we treat people in a negative way, they're probably going to reciprocate that as well. All of us tend to do that. We tend to mirror behavior back at people. And people mirror our behavior back at us. And this is a great life lesson when you learn it. When someone treats us poorly and we react in kind, that's kind of part of doing what Jesus says not to do when he says, don't judge. Now, if you have wronged me and I analyze and evaluate that you didn't treat me right, so I condemn or avenge by passing judgment and inflicting punishment on you by doing the same thing to you that you did to me or something worse, if I do that, what is the likelihood of our relationship getting better or the situation improving? Or of us having meaningful and helpful conversation? When someone treats you poorly, you'll never improve the situation by reacting in kind, because we tend to act in a reciprocal manner. We reciprocate. We will probably make things worse. If you've ever had a fight with your spouse, your partner, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You hurt me, now I'm going to hurt you back. And usually it just picks up momentum and gets worse and worse. But that's how we usually react. You hurt me, I feel that it's fair that I reciprocate and hurt you back. Jesus commands us not to do that. Jesus expects us to treat people how we would like to be treated, even when they don't treat us well. If someone wrongs you, you are not going to improve the situation by reciprocating that behavior. We also need to understand that not reacting in kind is not saying what someone's done okay. It's not that. It's simply that we understand that when we have been wronged, reacting in a fair and reciprocal manner is not going to improve things. If we mirror the behavior back, and that seems fair and reciprocal to do that, things are not going to get better. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 42. He says, "You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever strikes you on your right cheek, turn to him the other as well. And if someone sues you in a court of law and takes away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who would borrow from you, do not turn away." And in this passage, Jesus is quoting Old Testament law. You can find that in the book of Leviticus and a few other places as well. The Old Testament law tends to be fair. It tends to be reciprocal, at least what we would think of as that. And Jesus has fulfilled that law. And he says, my followers don't act like that. They don't reciprocate the same behavior. My followers extend grace and mercy. Why? Well, if we go back to the beginning of our passage today, we look back to verse 36. Jesus says this. He says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Be merciful because God has shown you mercy, extended you grace, and he has shown us unmerited favor. See, God doesn't treat us in a way that is fair and reciprocal. He treats us much better than that. He treats us better than we would deserve. And that's the message of Easter. That's the message of the cross. That's the message of the gospel. Jesus, an innocent man, went to the cross in obedience to the will of God, his Father. He took our sin, our disobedience, our rebellion, everything evil upon himself and suffered in our place. And if God had acted in a manner that was fair and reciprocal, an innocent man wouldn't have been punished for our sin, and we would be the one on the cross. It would be our cross, but because Jesus took our place, we're forgiven when we trust Christ. We've probably all heard the question, you know, if God is good, why is there evil in the world? You know, I've heard that multiple times. Well, one, it won't always be that way, and Jesus will return and everything will be set straight. But, you know, when people ask that question, I think there's a bit of dishonesty involved with it. I think if you could clearly answer it for them, even if you could, I'd still think they'd probably reject it. But they're really asking, you know, why isn't God fair? At least their version of fair. Why doesn't God reciprocate that behavior? And that is an area where people misunderstand the character of God. It's not that God is okay with evil or that it won't be judged and handled by him, but he's long-suffering. He's patient. He wants everyone to have every possible chance to turn to Christ. And we can look to the Old Testament and see times when God did act in a fair and a reciprocal manner. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 7 say, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was continually only evil. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. There you go. God saw that everyone was evil, so he destroyed all the life on earth, except the lives he saved in the ark. The whole world was evil, so God destroyed it. Well, that seems fair, right? God is good, so he deals with evil, and he wipes out the evil. And Sodom and Gomorrah, that's another great example of God being fair and reciprocal. Sodom and Gomorrah were full of terrible and evil people. God even has the patience to bargain with Abraham about Sodom. Abraham, you know, he bargains with God about the city. He's like, God, if there's 50 righteous people there, will you not destroy the city? And they go back and forth and back and forth. And eventually it comes down to, if there are 10 righteous people left in the city, God agrees with Abraham not to destroy the city. But there weren't even 10 good people in the city. So God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So those are two examples of God acting in a way that's seems fair and reciprocal. Now, if God were to deal with all of the evil in the world the way the people asking that question, you know, why doesn't God deal with the evil in the way they would like to see him deal with it in a fair and reciprocal manner, we would all be in trouble because he would have to deal with all of us in a fair and reciprocal manner with evil, you know, in the evil in you and me as well. You know, if you don't feel at least some sense of joy and the fact that God is not fair and reciprocal, you don't understand his character, what he's capable of, and you don't understand that you too are sinful and would need to be dealt with. Now, I'm going to venture a guess that someone who asks the question, if God's good, why does he allow evil, isn't going to be happy when he acts fairly either. And the reality is that we're all sinful. We all judge, we all condemn, we all rebel against God, but God doesn't treat us in a way that would be fair. that would be reciprocal, like people often do to each other. God doesn't mirror our behavior back at us. God treats us much better than we deserve. He extends his mercy and his grace. And Easter is the picture and the embodiment of that. Jesus is the living Son of God. He's God in the flesh. He was arrested. He was tortured. He was crucified. His body was broken and his blood was shed. He was completely innocent. There was no sin in him. Now reflect on this with me. When Jesus was in agony on the cross, what did he say to his Father about those who were crucifying him? He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Easter is God extending mercy, grace, and forgiveness towards humanity. For me and you, Jesus' death and resurrection made a way for our sins to be forgiven. A completely innocent man took our punishment for our sin on himself, and the wrath of God was satisfied. That's not fair at all. An innocent man dying for the guilt of others, but I'm sure grateful. On Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We celebrate that Jesus has defeated death. And when we know Jesus is our Savior, we identify with him and we take part in his resurrection. He loves us so much, loves you so much, that he suffered and died for you. And he offers you the forgiveness that comes with his sacrifice as a free gift. You can't buy it. You can't work for it. All you can do is accept it. That's not fair or reciprocal. Someday, every one of us, you, me, everyone, we'll all stand in judgment before God, maybe soon. For those who have trusted Christ, that gift of eternal life will be made complete, and we will enter into eternal life in heaven with Jesus. Those who know Christ are blessed that God does not treat us as we deserve. But for those who reject the blood of Jesus, you will be treated in a way that is fair and reciprocal. If you reject the Son of God, God will reject you. And those who do so will be cast into eternal flame. And some will say, "Well, that's not fair." No, that is exactly fair. Which one are you? Do you agree with God that you're sinful and need a Savior? That Savior is found in Jesus Christ. Do you accept him or do you reject him? You can accept him right now. Recognize that you need a Savior. Turn to him. Agree with what God says. Agree that he says we're sinful people. We need a Savior. Christ is that Savior. Put your trust in him. Well, that's our podcast for today. And I look forward to speaking with you again tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us today on the PC Speaking Podcast. Tune in tomorrow for another episode of Through the Bible in a Year. If you have found this helpful, please follow the podcast and share it with a friend. It is our hope and prayer that every episode helps enrich your relationship with God and his word.